And we got up to yesterday with two dots on the top of the dot. So, okay, I mean, we don't even need to review it. It's a new sugar here. Starts the Gemara on the sixth line. So we have, the fifth line, sorry, it's a high benita, patura palmita, I quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah was mechadish to us that even if you took out pachot mikashir, so once you're potter on the pachot mikashir, even though you have a very large thing that's holding that pachot mikashir, you're not going to be chayav on that thing because that thing was secondary to what you carry. And therefore, you can get away, so to speak, with anything in a sense. So one of the cases that we had in the Mishnah was where you're carrying out a chai, I got a living person on a bed. Surprisingly, you're patura palmita. The question is, why aren't you chayav on the person? So it seems clear from here that a living entity, at least that's what it would appear, a living entity is not something which you're chayav hotza'a on. And we'll see there's a concept of achai nosei et atzmo. In other words, the things that were carried out in the Melechet HaMishkan were things that were not themselves involved in the tzura of their hotza'a. Since a chai naturally has a tendency to balance itself, and it's not what we call dead weight. Even in English, dead weight means weight that does not participate in its carrying out. So it's kind of the mate, literally, it's the case in the Mishnah, dead weight. But a chai actually participates in its own hotzah through balancing itself. And therefore, Stosis explains that that's the idea, but that doesn't mean literally it's lighter, obviously. But it's not, says the Ri, it's not similar to the Malachas Hotzah and the Mishkan. The Malachas Hotzah and the Mishkan were of things that had absolutely no involvement in the Hotzah. That approach avoids the question that the Achronim ask of why this issue of Achai Nosei Et Atzmo is not similar to the question we had yesterday of Misayeya. You're saying the Chai also is helping in the Hotzah. Okay, but I mean, we said yesterday that Misayeya in Bo Mamash, what's the difference? Obviously, with this explanation, that's completely irrelevant. Totally irrelevant question. The tzura of Hotzah, it's not a question of being Misayeya in the Hotzah. The tzura of the Hotzah in the Mishkan was the Hotzah of dead weight, and this is not dead weight, and therefore you would be potur. However, it would appear that there's a machlokus about this issue, and therefore we're surprised to find that lema matnitin Rabbi Natani velo Rabbanan. Apparently the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Natan, who was a dat yachid, not according to the Rabbanan, because it would appear that the Rabbanan hold we don't believe that a chayav nosei et atzmo. Don't consider it relevant. The Tanya, hamotzi beimar chayav ba'oth rishut rabim, someone who carries out a ba'al chay into rishut rabim from rishut ayachid ben chayim ben shechutim chayav. So the Tanya Kama holds makes no difference if what you're carrying is live or whether it's dead meat. Rabbi Datan Omer al shechutim chayav, only on the meat he would be chayav, but al chayim patur shachay nosei et atzmo. So why then does our mission take for granted that if you're being motzi chai the mitah, you're patur on the chai, and therefore you're patur on the mitah as well? Omar Rabba, afil teimer Rabbanan. What are you confusing the two issues? The use of the word chai misled you. You thought that chai means any living being. That's not true. The machloket Rabbanan and Rabbi Natan, adkan lo pligi Rabbanan leidu Rabbanan, elabeim bibeima chayav of the mishar betei nafshayu. The problem is that when you are carrying a Baal Chai that is struggling to get away from you, then there are two issues that are going on in that Baal Chai. There's a tendency that it has, of course, to protect itself, and so search for a Mishkal, because every Baal Chai is afraid when it's suspended in the air. But at the same time, it wants to get away. And since it wants to get away, it's not interested in cooperating with you, it's trying to drown. So even though it doesn't want to get hurt, but it certainly doesn't want to be relaxedly balanced in your arms. Mashenking, when you're carrying out a person, that chai is no seyat atzmo. So that's the machlokas, whether the fact that it also is misharbet nafshayu, it attempts to concentrate its weight in a place where you are weakest. So in other words, it senses, okay, you're holding the edges, it'll try to fall out in the middle. So that part is certainly not being mekel on the hotzah. That's a machlokas. Whether that is enough similar to the hotzah, the mishkan of dead weight, or lemaisa, this is not dead weight. But an Adam Chai is certainly, whereas no Seat Atzmo, certainly the Rabbanan would also be Modeh. Therefore, our mission is true, both Alibid Rabbi Natan and Alibid Rabbanan. And if you have a Chai in a Mitah, then you're Potter on the Chai. And therefore comes along the Mishnah to say, since that's Miskam, nobody argues on that, therefore you're Potter on the bed as well.
Then it would be a difference also in a pen that you carry out, who enjoys being carried with, and they wouldn't fight, it wouldn't try to get away. An animal that is friendly not try to escape would be the same as a human being.
We're going to actually talk about that in a moment. Yeah. I have a little bit of a problem with that, because you know that we have the famous race we had in Avodah Zarah that Ben Bateras Matir B'Sus. He holds that you're allowed to sell a sus to a goy. And remember, we have a problem that we made a gezera not to be mocher the imagasa to an arkum because of the possibility that you may open a rent ashore company, and if the goy will use it, then on Shabbos, then you got a problem with shvitat b'em tov. So maybe okay, they wanted to answer it and so on. But a horse has been b'tera. If you've got to rent a horse, I mean, what do you think people go to a rental horse place for? Because they're trying to go visit their in-laws. I mean, so they're riding. That's what a rental horse is for. Maybe people use a horse for something. So therefore, a rental horse won't anyway be doing a malacha on Shabbos. Because what are you going to be doing? Riding? The guy's going to be riding. Riding isn't a malacha. What about hotzah? Oh, because a chayin nosei et atzmo. So that horse has got a living being on its back. Now, the problem is, you say, so far everything's fine. But the braisa adds, V'tzanya ben b'teiram matir b'sus mipnei shu oseh bo melacha she'in chayavim alav chatat, meaning because it's a chayin oseh et atzmo. And Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, I never heard anybody object to this, that ben b'teiram and Rabbi Natan amru devar achat. In other words, since Rabbi Natan says that when it comes to carrying on Shabbos a behemah chayav ha'of, and that you would be potter, and the Rabbanon argue, we'll have to say that Ben B'Teiram was going to leave the Shita of Rabbi Natan. Now, according to you, it has absolutely nothing to do with it. Because according to you, after all, everybody is moda in the horse, which is going to be carrying a human rider, obviously. I mean, what are you going to put your pet monkey on the back of the horse? So, therefore, the Shiloh over here would be, is the horse going to do a malacha by carrying a human? Not, is the horse going to be doing a malacha by carrying an animal? So why did you bring it in? He amr the loaf pligir Rabbanon alayt Rabbi Natan. If you tell me that the Rabbanon never would argue in Rabbi Natan, except in the case of Behema Chayav Oath, Mishum de Mishabete Nafshayo, they're trying to find a weak place where they can pull themselves out. So then what does that have to do with it? What do you mean? Mayar Ben Bateir of Rabbi Natan? Why did you mention a connection between Ben Bateir and Rabbi Natan, Shita? The Amit of Filo Rabbanon Moda. According to you, the Rabbanon would also be Moda. As Ben Bateir, I could have said it according to everyone. He would have said, well, the Rabbanon were matir also, besus, because they also heard that a human rider is no seyat adzimah. Well, that's true, I mean, but Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about horses that were for people. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about horses that are driven by birds, obviously. Look at that turkey on the horse over there. So that's a sus hamyuchad la'ofot. Hey man, what are you talking about? Mika sus hamyuchad la'ofot? What does that mean? In the ike de bevi da'an? Or, I mean, that's probably a little bit of a missed up Girsa Viadan, which is, I mean, it's supposed to be Tzayad of a foot, but, I mean, usually the Vazaydan is a trapper, like a hawk. You know these guys, they use the Ofot to go trap. Falcons, or, yeah. So they have birds that are trained to ride on their horse and to take off when they see a nice bird to trap. So those birds, in fact, would be riding the horses. And that's Miyufat Ofos. Obviously, that's not the only horse he's talking about. But since Ben Bateirah is Matir B'Sus, he was Matir on all Susim. There's no problem. So you rent a Sus. How about where this is a trained pair of Sus, Falcon, and okay. It's also Mutter. Rabbanan Aser on all Susim, even though this one is from Adam. Because according to them, the sus that was miyuchad la'ov would be, in fact, a problem. And so because of that, we wanted to say that it was going bedavka according to Rabbi Natan. But Lamaisa, had it not been for such a case, we wouldn't have had to involve Rabbi Natan at all. Now, the problem is that how about those birds? I mean, those birds aren't trying to be Masharvik, not Shire, are they? Obviously.
I mean, they're carrying themselves with them.
Well, they're not trying to get away. I mean, the Machlokes Rabbi Natan and the Rabbonon was whether we would say that on such a horse, on such a Balchai, you're carrying a Balchai, the reason Rabbonon were Chaylik on Rabbi Natan was because of the chai is yes, you know, say that's normal, but it's also attempting to escape, and therefore it's considered to be trying to be that way, at least. Right? So therefore it would be true, Pot saw. But these birds are certainly not trying to escape. I mean, they're trained birds. They're riding, and then they're gonna. So what does this mean? Hachayna say that's no in such a case. So why is that Rabbi Natan? Remember, we just kept saying the Rabbanan. What do the Rabbanan hold? That in a case where you're carrying an animal, this is why I said we're going to be talking about Sabah Joshua's Kasha. In a case where you have an animal that is attempting to get away from you, that over there, it can't be called a chayna seyat atzmo. That's how Rav explained it. The only machlokas is because it's b'shar b'tei nafshay. But when it would come to an oath that is riding on a horse, obviously that particular oath is not attempting to be b'shar b'tei nafshay. It's a trained bird that is happily driving along and ready to take off. I mean, this is a aircraft carrier, basically, this horse, right?
So maybe back to the role of the species that the Rav heard, but wouldn't be trained to do that, so...
So we're so convinced that that's the case, we're saying it would only be true of the Rabbi Natan? Or is what it simply means, Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say, not as going like Rabbi Natan, but that Rabbi Yochanan is saying basically the same thing as Rabbi Natan, in other words, that he's talking about being matir of chayma seyat atzmo, even on animals. As to whether he would have said it on all animals or not animals, that's not our discussion. I'm just pointing out, did we not have a machlokas between Rabbi Natan and the Rabbanan about animals? Here you got a case where somebody's talking about a heter of being mocher a sus, even a sus that's going to be carrying an animal. That's all that he means. That is how Rashi means. Okay, so then we've got two examples of such a klal. Your rental horse company and your Rabbi Natan's case of somebody who actually carries out a balcha. Omer Yochanan. Umoda Rabbi Natan bekafut. Now, when you'd be talking about a tied up animal, or for that matter, even a tied up human, where over there he's not free to balance his weight as he wishes, a tied up person becomes dead weight. So you shouldn't think that what Rabbi Natan is saying is that even though he's misharbit nafshayim, the element that is to some extent balanced out no matter what, out of simple instinct, is sufficient to say it's not similar to the Mishnah. So you would extend that to include, even in a case where it's tied up, there's still some ability to maneuver, that would be sufficient, whether you're talking about Adam or Behema. Kamashvan, when it comes to Adam or Behema, I'll leave you to Rabbi Natan. I want you to know that there has to be more maneuverability than simply being held by somebody, tied up, you can be held by somebody, if you're tied up, then for all intents and purposes, you're dead weight. Wait, why are you saying that? I mean, when we were talking about your rental horse company, I mean, were you don't have any branches in Persia? I mean, Rabbi Natan is being matir even the Persian branches they open on Shabbos, right? But the problem is that these guys, I mean, you look at the people that rent horses in Persia, for all intents and purposes, they might as well be dead. I mean, these Persians, you never get them to move, you know? They wear these clothes in which, for all intents and purposes, if they'd have to move, they wouldn't be able to because they're so stiff in them and they're wrapped in them. Besides which, they're too arrogant to even walk themselves. They're carried around all the time with their palanquins and then you stick them on the animal. So they should be dead weight as far as I'm concerned. And therefore, if you're dressed like that, imagine on a dressing in, armor, chain armor, you can barely move. I mean, that's the same thing as kafut, right? And so that's how these guys dress. Nonetheless, then the kera was matir, and Rabbi Yochanan said that Ben Beteiran, Rabbi Natan, Amru Davar Chad, and you said that Rabbi Natan would never have gone so far as to say kafut, and here, apparently it is the same, whether it's kafut or not. Answers. Now, Rav Ada Bar Ava, hey, these guys, they never move, because they're all tied up. Huh? You know why they never move? Because they're too darn arrogant to move. It's Ramot Rucho who did not get to look. It's just part of the arrogant stance that you just sit there, But I'll tell you, man, I once saw an official get into trouble. The cops were after him. This guy, who never managed to budge an inch, suddenly ran 3 parasodras, 36 kilometers, without having even his shoes on. He got them off fast, and he just went through that sand. You should have watched him move. So these guys can move. They just make themselves look like they can't move. That's right. It's a mate de mitzah chayav, V'chein kizayit min amit. And in all of these cases, Rabbi Shimon is poter, because Rabbi Shimon says that it has to be a malacha that is tzricha legufa. Now, you should know that this is a good place to discuss the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about the nature of malacha and tzricha legufa, because this is basically what Tosfos expounds his theory. And he says malacha and tzricha legufa is a simple yesod of comparison to the particular tzorach in the Mishkan. In other words, we're talking about malacha. Rashi says malacha and tzricha legufa is where, in any case, where you would need to deal with the situation that you want to deal with. But if you would have preferred that this had never been here, I mean, you don't need the mate at all. You know, it would be absolutely okay with you if the guy just stayed alive. So, therefore, anything that you're doing is basically something that you're doing with reluctance. Because as far as you're concerned, you have no interest, nothing, there's nothing positive about this. This just has to be taken care of. So, as far as you're concerned, it's a malacha and tzricha legufa. That approach avoids a lot of the problems. For instance, you're taking a mace out. I mean, well, I understand. If you're carrying out a lulav, what are you going to say? It's ain't tzricha legufa. I don't need the lulav. What do you mean? You need to do the mitzvah of the lulav. Take a mace out for kura. Telling me that's any different than taking out a lulav to be out to the mitzvah. I mean, that's the mitzvah. So why is that ain't tzricha legufa? And so there's a lot of discussion about this in the Achronim. You know, what makes it ain't tzricha legufa? We're going to talk about taking out the people for it. So the way that Rashi's understanding it is that, but that's not the point. I do not have anything positive in my life that I would have needed to do if this mace wouldn't have been here, and I have no interest in this mace here. Therefore, I have no interest in anything that's being achieved here, because it's only being achieved against what it is that I would want to achieve. So why call that a malacha? The idea of a malacha is that a man has a strategy for what it is he's going to do in life. This is part of the things that he wants to achieve. Malacha is positive achievement. It has to be positive. It can't be anything that's going to... Okay, so therefore, miritzono lo haya balo is the way Rashi puts it. Tosfos considers that to be irrelevant. What's the difference? You're dealing with life as it is. Well, who cares what would have been what, you know, if your grandmother had wheels? I mean, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that's in front of you. How are you going to deal with it? Therefore, according to Tosfos, the issue is, what was the Mishkan's definition of this malacha? Since in the Mishkan, the whole point of the Hotzah, which was the carrying of the Mishkan from place to place, was in order to make use of that which I carried in the place that I'm carrying it to, that becomes the definition of the malacha. And he goes through many, many examples of this, the cases that we have, the tzad, for instance. Your tzad the nakash, your patur. Why? Because in the Mishkan, when you were tzad the thing that you needed to use for the Mishkan, not tzad the thing that you needed to get away from you. Again, according to Rashi, it's just there's nothing positive in this tzad, because as far as you're concerned, you wish the snake wouldn't be there in the first place. Hey, what's the point of that, Mr. Tosfos?
You want the venom of the snake?
Then in Achinami, you'd be fine. That's no difference of being tzad for the or.
So Rashi,
have you been milking in Nagashi lately?
So for Rashi, you know, it's more a question of whether it's kavua or rai in this situation?
No, it's a question of whether this is something positive for you or not. Is it an achievement for you, or it's only something that needs to be done that would much rather not have been there in the first place? Okay, so again, here is where you should just know, here's where Tosis goes through all of the examples that we had in the Gemara of malacha and tzricha legufa, and shows why it has nothing to do with you particularly, but why it's not similar to the malacha in its primary place, which is in the Mishkan. Omar Rabba Bar Rabbanan Rav Yochanan, the Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. You should know that when Rabbi Shimon says that you're patur because of malacha shein tzricha legufa, poter haya Rabbi Shimon, af b'motzi et hamet l'kovro. You shouldn't think that the malacha shein tzricha legufa is where there's no advantage at all, not to you and not to the mate. But had there been advantage to the mate, so then enafinami, that's a positive act, or that is similar to the act as it was in the Mishkan, because the use, so to speak, of the mate is to bury the mate. That's what he's good for. He's good for burial. So maybe that is similar to the Mishkan, the way Tosfos is learning. Or maybe that is a positive thing, that you're being Mekayim, the burial. You might think that that's considered to be Tzricha Legufa. Therefore, comes along now, Rabbi Shimon Gemara, to say that Rabbi Shimon was Matir even the Motziyat HaMeit HaKovro. Now, the question there from the, when you say Malacha Shein HaTzricha Legufa, would mean, what would the actual meaning be of the word? According to Rashi, I don't need it qua it. I don't need it for what it is. According to Tosfos, I don't need it as it's fundamentally defined. The gufa of the malacha, not the gufa of what I'm doing the malacha to. According to Rashi, the point over here is, I don't need what I'm dealing with here. According to Tosis, I'm not doing it for the purpose of which the malacha is. So it's not the gufa shel milacha. It's a very different meaning. And so I'd be questioning, do I need it for the mate, as opposed to, do I need it for the nature of hotza'ah? That's what Rashi is saying. Well, you don't need it for the mate. And this becomes important in the sugya that we're about to begin, which Rava says, when Rabbi Shimon says, the sound of the gufa, Moda Rabbi Shimon, if you're carrying out a hoe, and you need that hoe to dig something with, if you're carrying out a Sefer Torah, and you need that Sefer Torah to read, that you would be chayiv. Well, I sure hope so. And because if you're not chayiv there, I guess you'd never be chayiv. And it's a pshita. If that's called a malach shein tzrichah l'gufa, well, what the heck is a malach shein tzrichah l'gufa? D'ha nami malach shein tzrichah l'gufa yi. So then, malach shein tzrichah l'gufa, Rabbi Shimon Eichem Eshkakash, could you please give me an example of what is a malach shein tzrichah l'gufa? I'm carrying out the Sefer Torah and I'm going to read it, but that's not tzrichah l'gufa. What is that supposed to mean? Now, if you think about it, the hotzah of the Mishkan was tzrichah l'gufa to have a Mishkan, but it was also tzrichah l'gufa to be able to put the Mishkan back together. So in other words, the question is, I'm going to use what it is that I took out. But not only am I going to use it, I am going to fix it. So that when I take out something, and I do a malachas hotzah, and note that this is the first time that we've even considered the possibility that hotzah, until now we've said, gosh, there's something screwy about hotzah, because I don't do anything to the object, I only change its physical coordinates. The first time that we're considering that, maybe hotzah consists of changing the physical coordinates in order to do something to the object. Not simply to use the object, which is irrelevant to the object. I'm going to be using the Sefer Torah. It makes no difference to Sefer Torah whether I happen to be there looking at it to read it. I mean, of course, unless you hold up the Zen problem with one hand, like a tree that falls in the forest, or, you know, that kind of thing, or maybe a quantum mechanical issue if you're not looking at the Sefer Torah. Does the Sefer Torah revert to an undefined wave function and so on? But generally speaking, we believe that the Sefer Torah couldn't care less whether you're looking at it or you're not looking at it. So, Mamela, I would have thought, interestingly enough, that the only thing that is called Hotzah, if you hold it, it has to be Tzricha L'Gufa, which according to Rashi means, therefore, for the purposes of the thing, or even according to Tosis, for the purposes of the Iker Malacha, which always involves not simply your use of the object, but your use for the object, because you couldn't use that Mishkan until you put it back together again. So by definition, your Hotzah involves something that you're going to do with the object, correct? And to the object. So maybe over here, when I take out a Sefer Torah, the only way I would be chayav is if the Sefer Torah has in it a ta'ut, and I need to check it over and then use it. So I need to be magia. Ah! So now it's like the Mishkan. You're taking it out, you're fixing it, and you're reading it. You're taking out a hoe. Yeah, it's talking about a hoe that has a bent metal piece. So you're also going to put on a new metal, and then you're going to use it to dig. Okay, that's the same. I had a Mishkan, put the Mishkan together, and now I'm going to use the Mishkan. Maybe at kedei kach, we would say, that that's the definition of a malachim tzrichah l'gufa when it comes to hotzah. Fascinating, right? So therefore comes along now the chiddush of a Rava, which the Gemara originally thought was absolutely laughable. Understand? Take carrying out the Sefer Torah to read it. I mean, I should hope so. Don't jump to conclusions. Not necessarily. So, you know what I would have said? Ma'atatena atiika l'gufo u'l'gufa. That not now here, again, the use of gufo and gufa is different, depending on how you understand. In other words, legufa shel ha-sefer or legufa shel ha-malacha. Okay, but in any way, or legufa, for your own use of the thing. So ma'o detema ad de'ika legufo u'legufa. You have to be able to do something also for it and to be able to use it. So like, for instance, you've got the mark, go ahead and make a tas on it first, and then be choferbo. By the way, you'll notice once again, we have the relationship of the chet, of mortality, to all of the inyanim that come from. So the mar dad of the chamor, the mar which is needed in order to dig, which he didn't need to hoe before the chet of Adam, which is the kotz v'dardar tatzmiat, so therefore it's related to mortality directly. It uses again the mordor, the mar issue, right? So the mar lach korbo is only if you're going to fix it. The Sefer Torah was only if you're going to be magia, and then you'll read from it. And therefore it comes to tell me that no, it's actually considered to be a malach shein tzrichah l'gufa if the element that you're taking out is going to be used, not necessarily is going to be fixed.
But the malacha that you have to do on the guf, that is also happening.
So? How does that change anything? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Say that what you think of doing it.
You're a very bad boy, a very bad boy. Two wrongs don't make a right. You're absolutely right about that. Now, if you gave him Asra, he would be five on that too, maybe kill him twice. If he was a shogeg only on the Shabbos, of course, no matter how many different malachas he does, it would only be five once. We get into all the shilas before, and the question is, maybe he didn't even do it. Maybe he stopped to do it. But then it would be a malach mitzvah l'gufa, and so on and so forth. Don't forget the alien connection. So, ahush shchob the havi bedro keret. Now, there was a particular mace on Shabbat. And Shorer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak al-Fukei le-Karmelit. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak had been matir. This mate was in a place where he was, it was Mutab Bizayon. Either it was in a hot location, or it was literally the house was on fire, or whatever. So they were matir carrying him into a Karmelit. Now, it didn't get around clearly that it was a Karmelit, that people thought the mace it was. They were took him into Rosh Hashanah. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Afuah, the Marbe Rav Anilu, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Gosh, how'd you do that? I mean, I assume you were relying on the Shita Rabbi Shimon. Because Rav Sasa Meis says you're potter. But I mean, he only said you're potter. He didn't say you can do it with a tefillah, did he? So come on, Rabbi Shimon. Am I the potter, Rabbi Shimon, if you've got that? And all he said was patur. You'll notice that he never said mutar. You know, we're talking about a maid. So Isurad Rabbanan Miyahika. Oh, Marley. So Nachum Bar Yitzchak said to him, I swear to God, Dayalta Behat. I am going to get you to give the same sack, my dear. And not only that, forget about Rabbi Shimon. You don't even need Rabbi Shimon. You'll say exactly the same thing according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a malach shem tzedek l'gufa yad chayav aleh. I said to take him out to a Carmelite. So you're going to say, but even a Carmelite is usher. And certainly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where it makes no difference, whether it's a malach tzedek l'gufa or not, it's no different than any other case. Now I'm going to get you to agree. Because the chikamina l'shut rabim, what did I tell you? Take him out to l'shut rabim. Which would have something to do with the machlokas anyway. I'm talking about taking him out to a Carmelite. So you're saying, okay, but what about the Yisra Abonin of carrying him to a Carmelite? We've already established that Godol Kevod Habriot Shedoche et Lota Asesha B'Torah, as we had earlier, we talked about in Brochas and so on. If you have a need for the Bizayon HaMeit to move the Meit, the Lav of Lota Sur, which normally covers the Takon of the Rabbanan would not mind it, Divrehem, in a situation where you're going to be Mavaz of the mate. Ah, you'll ask, because Tosfos does. So why is it that you need to place a kikar or a tinok on the mace in order to move the mace als mukta, if for the hotso, which is the Rabbanan, forget about it. So for the mukta, which is the Rabbanan, we can't just say forget about it? So Tosfos says, we could say forget about it, but it's always available, this eitzah. You know, but what kind of eitzah do you have to be matir lahalokha the hotso lakar? You're going to have to simply do it by issue, so to speak. So Rabbanan, we're reminded of Ibrahim in that situation. So it's as long as it's possible to save the situation without simply giving a blanket, just ignore mukta. Don't ignore mukta. Take a kikar, put it on the mace. It itself is a strange head there. But all right.
How
many reels
here is only in dealing with mace? Or is it
No, I mean, we had the place where we brought it up was the question whether you have to be toshay to kill him. Sure, you tell them. If there were something else, it would only be the other abonim, so we would allow it. Tzan hatam, hatolesh simanei tum'ah. Now we know the Torah says, hishamer b'nega hatzarat. That's a lashon of lota asah, called hishamer is a lav. Hishamer b'nega hatzarat means don't do anything that will take away the simen that makes this nega tame in order to get the kohen to be matir. So if you have a simen, for instance, of discolored hair, depending which type of nega it is, whether it's sar lavan, or whether you have the sahar, the tzahov, but you cut them. So you bring it to the Kohen, and now there's no simen of tumah in there. Or you've got a mithya. Mithya is where you have healthy skin that's growing in the middle of certain negayim. That's going to be considered to be a simen of tumah. So what you do is you cauterize the mithya. And now the mithya becomes the same as the rest of the nega because of the heat that you used on it. You've burnt your skin. So now it becomes tahor. Because there's no mithya, spasuchai in it. So in those cases, you would be over to subdue right? So Yishamer the Negat Zarat. So if you were Tolesh, Simanei Tuma, or you were, let's say, that means the hair, of course, to be Tolesh, or you were Hichva HaMichya, over below Ta'asa. Now that leads us to question, what Shilur? So So itmar achat mishtayim chai. So there are two hairs. Since the simen is two hairs of sar lavan, so if you cook off one of them, you don't take off both of them. The moment you take off one, there's not a shear, and therefore you were over on ishar b'nei gatzarat. But if you took one away from three, so anyway you're leaving two behind, it's still going to be tamei. So over there you say, okay, so I didn't do anything to the negatzarat. So therefore, achat mishalosh, l'chora you would be potter. In fact, Reb Nachman says you're chayev. Reb Sheshet says you're potter. Reb Nachman says you're chayev because you did achieve something. What did you achieve, honey meisel? You achieved the fact that you made it much more likely that in the course of nature, you're going to be saved from this negatzarat. Because it often happens that one hair falls out. So you figured, okay, what's the chance that I'm going to lose two of these hairs? But one of them is a good chance. So I'll cut off one, leaving two, so I didn't do it, so you figure. And then, you know, hopefully by the time I get to the Kohen, one of them will be gone naturally, and then it'll be okay. That itself is called a pagam in the Yishaber B'nei Gatzarat. To bring something right up to the edge, where that edge can easily be crossed without your needing to do it, that itself is a chiyuv. The Mishitakla, Chod Achrit, if one other one goes, Azla la tuma. You'll notice that this is often a strategy to get away with murder. You know, I won't actually do the thing I'm not supposed to do. We'll just get right up to the edge and hope that something happens to make it happen. You know? But then it won't be my fault, of course. Right? No. So it's very interesting. So you would have a classic example of that psychology. And according to Reb Nachman, you'll be chayav anyway. Reb Sheshet Omer Patur. For the obvious reason that Hashtamiya Vayitha Latumah. It's all very nice, you made it more likely, but that's not what Yishomer means. Yishomer means to make an absolute impact, and right now the Nega is still talking. Omer Sheshes, Mina, I'll prove to you, and here's why we're bringing up this Sugya, otherwise that's absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about. I'll prove to you, says Reb Sheshes, that bringing things up to the edge is not a pegia in the Shira itself. Because take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, V'chein kizayit min amid u'chizayit min anevela chayav, according to the Rabbanan. Now, what does that imply? That only a shear that's valuable, a kizayit. But if it would be a chatzi zayit, then you would be potter. The problem is, I got a brisa that says that if he takes out a chatzi zayit of a maid, he's also chayav, okay? Now, I don't believe that there's a machloket here. I believe that there's two different cases. Cases like this. Marla. Oh, the Tanya Chayav, huh? Chayav is the Afik Chatzi Zayit Mikizayit. Whereas Oh, the Tanya Patur is the Afik Chatzi Zayit Mikizayit Vemechza. In other words, the Mishnah is and Braita together are coming to illustrate this very issue. In order to show you how this is right at the edge, we have two cases. And we leave it to you to figure out the two cases. In one case, we say, you're a Potter on less than a Kizayit. Where is that? You're put on less than a kazayas, where you didn't make any difference to the tumah. But if you took out from a kazayas, a chatzizayas, that's already, that's very valuable. You took it out of the bayit, so now you don't have a shear to be the time of the bayit. Okay, you're telling me that's not a valuable hotso. Elamai, it's a malach shen tzrikha lagufa. Obviously, we're going over here according to Rav Yehuda. Malach shen tzrikha lagufa. By the way, you should just know, this Mishnah is the only source we have for the fact that there is a Bachor Provision in review about Loshen Tzrich Lagufa. Because we've already established that the Mishnayos here, as we saw in the ratio of the Mishnah before, was Rebbe Yehuda. Remember, it was the Stam Mishnah, was Rebbe Yehuda. Because in the Mishnah of Messiah, according to Rebbe Meir, you would have been Chayim. Because of that, says Tosfos, we see here a Machlokas, Rebbe Shimon, and the Tana Kama was unstated, but whom we know to be Rebbe Yehuda. And this is the only place where we really have an open marker to the machlokes, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, about whether the machlokes are good for side. Very interesting. But in any event, so if we're going over here, in one part the Mishnah says you're potter, one part it says you're chayav. Very simple to understand. You're potter if you took a chatzi zayis away from a kazayit v'chetzi. You're chayav if you took a chatzi zayis away from less than kazayit v'chetzi. That's the point. So what the Mishnah's goofa coming to tell you is, don't think that you would be chayav if you brought it right up to the edge, and you had a kizayit v'chetzi, and you took out only a chetzi, so the bias is still tame. But you're thinking to yourself, give it a couple of hours, the day gets hot, and the basar now, it becomes dried out, and we're going to have less of the kizayit here, and then we got no problem with the house, and everything will be okay. But I didn't do anything myself, right? So the whole point is to tell you that, so what? Bottom line is, You didn't change it right now, therefore in that case you're potter. Doesn't that make sense? Reb Nachman says, well, you know, it makes sense, but it's certainly not a proof. I mean, it could well be talking about Ide would be chayiv. It doesn't matter whether you brought it down to an exact desire, you would also be chayiv, maybe. Maybe the case that says that your putter is talking about where you have a mate, a whole mate. In which case, if you take out a chatz desire, it ain't going to make any difference anywhere, because it's not getting closer to having less than a desire there. So, Mameo, obviously, as Tosfos points out, when it says a whole mate, that doesn't mean that. It means from slightly more, that's the point. Because the whole point over here is that you bring it right down to the edge. Obviously, if you had four sarot, you brought it down to three, Renata never would have said, well, you made it closer. Closer is not the point. I mean, we're not analyzing these statistics. We mean you bring it down as close as you could bring it. That's the point. Well, no, any statistical variation gets a little hotter in the house, it's going to change. You rub against something, you lost the other hair. That's where he's saying. He's not saying anytime you make something a little bit closer. So this is misleading. Chatzisai being made gadol. It has nothing to do with gadol. Simply has to do with the fact that it's more than a kazayit for chetzis that you brought it right down to the kazayit. But according to me, Sefer Nachman, I mean, maybe the Mishnah isn't necessarily addressing that very close condition where you're right at the edge. Maybe the Mishnah is only pointing out that you would be putter where it doesn't achieve anything, and you would be chayiv where it does achieve something. Where you took it away from a kazayit. Somebody bites his nails on Shabbos. Or he pulls off his nail, not with a scissor, but with his other fingers. Or he now cuts his hair. Or svamo, you know, he may bite the hair of his mustache. Or he's biting on his beard. So to somebody who braids, a woman who braids her hair. V'chein ha-kochelet, or she uses her eyeshadow. V'chein ha-pokeset. Now, pokeset is one of those things that everybody's got another opinion on what it is. Now, some learn pokes is to part the hair, pull the hairs carefully through two sides, get a very sharp part down the middle, which is a particular hairstyle. Some learn pokeset means to actually, Rashi has the weirdest shot. Pokeset means to use that mud stuff on your face, or a mud pack, which when you peel it off, turns the skin red. Others learn, Pokeset, Rashi brings, is just combing your hair, which Tosfos says is very unlikely. We always use the word combing. Is there Bavachelot Sorek? And why would we use Pokeset? But we'll see in the Gemara what the Chiyuvim would be on these things. So in all of these cases, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev, and the Chachamim say, no, it may be Osir Mishum Shvuz. Shvuz is what we call the mitzvah of being shoveit on Shabbat. Some read it mishum shvot. The Chachamim are being mechayev you to be shoveit on Shabbat. But generally it's assumed that the meaning of shvut means isur d'rabbanan that are in order to assure shvitat Shabbat. So we call that type of isur isur shvut on Shabbat. So they said there's no isur d'oraita involved over here. And this is not considered to be a way to be gozeis, to bite your nails. There's scissors on your nails. Omer Rabbi Elazar machloket biyad avu bekli chayav. Rabbi Eliezer says, now of course the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the Mishnah is not whether you're chayav on using a nail clipper. Of course you're chayav on using a nail clipper. The machloket is whether you're chayav on biting your nails. Well, hey man, I can read the Mishnah myself. Pshita, I mean, it says zu bezu. When it says to use your fingernails to pull off a nail or to bite. I mean, obviously that's not a nail clipper. No, it's not so simple, because Ba'adatemer Rabbanan V'Klinami Patur. I don't know why the Rabbanan say Patur. Maybe the Rabbanan say Patur because they don't hold that a human nail is considered to be Derech Giza. So we can learn it out of the Melechas Giza in the Mishkan. And the only reason that it uses this case is to tell me, but, because if I would have said, if you use a nail clipper on Shabbos, so I would have said, oh wow, that's a big Kiddush. But of course, Rabbi Eliezer, all the Jerchayev, would have said, never have said your chayiv even if you bite him. So in order to make it clear how far Rabbi Eliezer is willing to go, we said, look, if you bite your nails on Shabbos, your chayiv, I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim who say you're potter, you would have been potter on a nail clipper too. Maybe, I'm just coming to make that clear. But on a nail clipper, you're chayiv. And the Rabbanan and the argue on Rabbi Eliezer only whether it's considered to be galach or yad by biting your nails. Yes, before we would be saying that it's going on even a Rabbi Yehuda. You don't need what it is that you were gozeis.
Why should the Mishnah have been
Well, there's a first of all, more in Avamina, because according to Rabbi Shimon, you would be. As Rabbi Yaakov just pointed out, Tosfos points this out. Of course, what we mean is the Kli Divrei HaKol Chayav doesn't mean literally Divrei HaKol. It means Divrei HaKol Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Assuming that you all that I'm watching Zuch L'Chayav, you're Chayav, so, you know, then you'd be Chayav on a Kli. So, in fact, Tosfos is troubled by, and how do you know that maybe when it says over the Rabbanan Pater, is because of their holding like Rabbi Shimon, in which case they certainly would have said it, even the Kli, right? How do you know that? So Tosfos says, I'll tell you how I know it. Because if the Chiddush of the Rabbanan were to tell me that you'd be potter even on a Kli, then the Mishnah would certainly have taken the case of a Kli to tell me the Chiddush, the Kayach of the Rabbanan. Why would it tell us the Kayach of Chiyav of the Chattas Elib of Eliezer? Tell us the Chiyav that it's potter at least according to the Rabbanan. Right? So the Shaila is, why would they have said? But I would have thought, in other words, the Rashi says, I would have thought that Giza is Davka on something like Semer, like that consistency, that it's something that is meant to be taken off to be used and so on. Okay? Tosfos doesn't like that because he says, Gozes is on any Baal Chai. There's no Havamin on a Baal Chai. He said, if you pluck feathers from a bird in order to fill your pillow with it, you're Chai Mishum Gozes. So he certainly couldn't have said Gozes is only on Semer. That's for sure. Feathers are not semer.
That's the
other question. Malacha tzich legufa. There's two issues: the derech hamalacha and the purpose of the malacha. Those are two different things. Even though I'm learning them both out of the Mishka, everybody agrees that the tzurat hamalacha has to be learned from the Mishka. That's what we're calling the av of the malacha. Okay, so therefore, kamashva not to think that the issue over here has nothing to do with machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, or whether gozeis is shayak on a human. And it's only a question of kila achayad. So therefore, it takes on this case to tell me the Kiddush of Rabbi Eliezer. I would have thought to Mashal on that it's not that way. The Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Machloket La'atzmo. Where does Rabbi Eliezer say that if you bite your nails, you're putter, if it's your own nails? But if you are what do they call those women?
Pedicurist.
If you're a pedicurist who has a tendency to bite the other guy's toenails, good Lord. So then it would certainly be patur. Is that not obvious since the Mishnah does say tzipor nav? Well, I might have thought maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds that that's the best pedicure, you know. So ma the tamer Rabbi Eliezer lechavero navi mechayev. Vali tani tzipor nav lo diakha kocha de rabbanan. I might have said that, no, why does it say your own nails? Because otherwise, the rabbanan, your own nails is certainly a derech to bite your nails. Go mashmalan that the rabbanan are matir, not matir, but poter, even on your own nails. But ain't nothing on me. The Rebbe Eliezer, that's not true, but Rebbe Eliezer, the bottom line is, would have agreed that if it's someone else's nails, it's not considered to be a derech. V'chein saro. Tana hanotel malei piazot.
Some mothers bite their nails.
Who? Mothers of children. I was thinking about that. They're afraid to cut the skin. With Rabbanan be more than a child, it is the derech of you. But it's not the derech of Giza, probably. Even though it's the derech to do it here, but it isn't the derech of Giza to bite. It could be that it's not the tzura someone else has done. Anotu malo pi hazu, chayav. You fill up the tip of your scissors, that's the shear of Giza. What is that? Kama malo pi hazu. Omrevir shtayim, two hairs. Two hairs is the tip of your scissor. How could that be? Vatanyu le karachat shtayim. It says, no tell Malopi Azug, your Chayav Agavi Shabbos. And as far as the Chiyav of Karachat Al Hamet is concerned, which is an Isser, you're not allowed to tear hair on a mate, the Shira over there is two. So obviously two is not Malopi Azug. Then how do you contrast the two? For Shabbos it's Malopi Azug, but for Karachat it's two. It's obviously Malopi Azug is not two. This is, says Rabbi Yudanum, Ema Bechain le Karachat. And it's true as well for Karachat that the shear is the same as Malopi Azug. Of course, with Karachat, you're not using Azug. You're tearing the hair. But the shear is to tear out two hairs. Shtayim. Taninami Hachi. Hanotel Malopi Azug b'Shabbat Chayev. V'kama Malopi Azug. Shtayim. There we go. Now, Rebbe Eliezer says, no, even one hair. Umodim Chachomer, Rebbe Eliezer, not the Chachomer, Umodet, Rebbe Eliezer, that if you've got a youngster who's got one white hair, and he pulls out that white hair. Aha. Now he's doing something valuable, huh? Now he's young again. He's got himself nice black hair. So if you're malakeh levanot mitoch shechorot, so then every step towards youth is valuable. And therefore, afirachat chayav. Truth is, tovizav b'cholas. So you're not allowed to take out your white hairs even during the week. Mishum shenemar lo yubash gever simlat isha. You might as well be putting on your dress when you walk out. I mean, what kind of guy are you anyway? So Mamela, what he-man is concerned about looking young?
Laket is also.
No, laket, yeah. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Tziporen shepirei shuluba, v'tzitzin shepirei shuluban, v'yad mutar, v'kli chayav chatat. Interesting. If you've got a hangnail, which is mostly off, so then you can bite it off or pull it off with your fingers on Shabbos. But if you would use a scissors, you'd be chayav chatat. What? We're matir lechatchila, something that if you would do it one way, it would be an isidur rabbanan. So we're about to do it another way. So anyway, you're only going to come to an isidur rabbanan. But if you're telling God to come to an isidur raisa, so then we wouldn't have been matir lechatchila to do it the other way. Ah, okay, coming. You're right. Piece over here we left out. Pirshu ruban v'yad mutar. If they were already mostly off, whether it's a hangnail or with the, what do they call it where you have just a skin that, you know, that pulls off a little bit. You know, that often happens at the edge of a nail where it's painful, you have a little piece of skin that is torn off. There's a name for that, I think. Okay, so there, biyad would be mutal chatchila, bikli would be potter, because it's already mostly off. So the male is considered to be meikra, then it's already gozes. But also mirabon lo bishuruban, but if it would be mostly attached, then if you tore it off biyad, you would be potter. But there, being allowed to, avlasur bekli chayav chatas. That's what it's talking about. Omer b'yira loker Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Actually, that's how we pass him to be matir, biting your nail off on Shabbos if it's already hanging. Omer Rabba Barba Chodem Rabbi Yochanan. This is only if it's making you crazy. It's been mitzayir you. So it depends on the direction that it was poreish. Hu shepir shel klapei mala u'mitzarot oto. So since it's now continuing, Rashi says, although some change the gears in the Rashi, klapei mala is that it's towards the nail from underneath, and therefore it's very painful. But Tosfos says klapei mala in the Gemara never means what it means in the colloquial. Klape mala is only towards the goof, not klape mala of the organ itself. So klape mala would mean towards your arm, which is the norm. So in other words, if the nail is hanging, it's aimed into the nail and it's pulling at you, and that really is very painful.
Cuticle.
Yeah, which starts hurting now, the under part of the nail. The raya is, when it comes to mila, we say min ha'atara v'lemala, or when it comes to holding oneself not to be chavira. Minatar v'lemala doesn't mean to the top of the organ. Minatar v'lemala means towards the body. So that's always what v'lemala means. Here too, it's not towards the body, not towards the top of the finger. So godelet, kochelet, kokeset, all of these cases are chayav aliv the Rebbe Eliezer. Why? Mishumai mechayav. Omre babin, omre b'yesh, Rebbe Chanina. Well, look, godelet, basically you're braiding your hair. So that's oreget. It's like you're weaving. And kochelet, that's like you're writing. And pokeset, well, that's because you're tovet. It's like spinning. Again, according to Rashi, this is really a little bit far-fetched. You know, if you're talking about a mud bath. As well, you know, before you put the stuff on your face, you know, this is like a doughy thing. You rub it in your hands, you know, and then you put it on. So you have to make like a thread of it. So it's like tovet. Or if it's talking about the bokeset, where you're pulling the hair to either side, so you're twisting them, so it's like you're twisting threads together. So the Rabbanan said at the Sobat Rabbi Avodah, I mean, come on, the chider ariga b'kach, this is so far-fetched. This is called ariga, braiding hair. You would make a material like that, with all these thick pieces in it. That's not the derech of ariga. This is called kotev. You're using an eyeglass shadow pencil, you're right. That's called kotev. I mean, you're not writing any symbol. You're just making a mark. I mean, that's not kotev. I don't care if you want to call it a pencil. That's not the derech ha'ktiva. You're rubbing some hairs together. That's called tviyah. I mean, it just doesn't stick together. It's just, that's not tviyah. Elam Rabbi Abu, nah, I don't know who said that pshat. L'dibim efash l'minei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. I had an intelligent pshat said over to me by Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Kochelet isn't writing. Kochelet is dying. It's dying the skin. The same way if you dye skins to make patent leather shoes. What's the difference if you're, she's dying now the skin of her face with the eyeshadow pencil? Well, that's the Shiloh over here. The Rabbanan don't agree. Godelet u'pokeset, interestingly enough, is Mishum Bonet. She is building her hair. Ah, now wait, I like the first one, the second one. I think that's stretching it a bit. This is similar to building a building. I'm here. Yeah, what kind of binyan is that? Says the Gemara, oh, absolutely. I mean, very clearly it's binyan. As a matter of fact, the first binyan in the world was a hair braid. Because, get a daughter from Shimon and Manasseh. Vayiven Hashem Elokim et Hatzela. Now, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to build the Chava out of Adam Rishon's rib? This teaches us that he did her hair. Malamit Shekil Ah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chava. This teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu became Chava's hairdresser. The Heviyai Tzel Adam, he wanted her to look pretty and nice, and he was the Shushbinin, so he had to do a whole China thing and everything, you know, and then present her to Adam Rishon. And why do I say this? Shekein b'karchei hayam korin v'kleita benita. Because you find out there on the islands, La Isla Bonita, you heard that, right?
Which is it?
That's the Madonna song, right? Yeah. You don't know Madonna. Ah, Texas boy. So the bonita is actually a kleita. So when a woman goes out with these braids, what she's really done is bonita herself. So that means that there's a sinan that Vayivan Hashem is... He did her hair, which tells you that it's actually a meleches binyan beremet. Okay, we'll see more on these interesting ideas tomorrow.
Hashem had to pretty up Chava.
Mm-hmm. Even though he prettied her up, you understand that Adam Rishon was complaining the whole time about her.
But he had nothing compared to what he seen her before.
Ah, you mean you think that beauty is only relative, do you? You think that if you would have just been born on some desert island where the women walk around like a bunch of wild Indians and never do anything that they would be, did you ever notice the way animals preen themselves? Nobody taught them. It's part of the competitive development of the biology, isn't it? So can you think when you pretty up your hair that it's not very similar to what those apes are doing? Is that what you think? There you go. And take a look at those bower birds and take a look how they decorate their homes and you know exactly what you're doing.
Could we learn in Brachas that the way to pick up the coast, take with your left hand, you put your right hand, you hold your right hand, you look into
pick up the ghost?
Coast.
The coast.
Right? That you're not supposed to support it with your left hand? Well, we had a whole sugya yesterday.
About Misayeh?
Yeah.
Hitting Bomamish?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't passel, but it's not nice. But it won't pass all the Avodah. But it's certainly what you want to do is you want to show that your entire thing is given over to you. You mean? Doesn't mean like that. That's a nice thing to do. Let's do our concern, actually. Yes. Not me. Oh, I forgot. I'll do it right now.
Do what?
Get that book.
No, let's go.
Oh, this one? You want to apologize for not bringing the kids today?
No.
So what do you want? The Shabbos. I got a plan. I got a big plan. I'm going over for a celebration of the Rosh. But you never know. You know, we might knock on your door just to eat the dessert. Bezrat Hashem, I'm around. I'm walking. But I will be here, Bezrat Hashem. I expect to see you bright and early. We've been missing you. Don't tell me you're planning on Chazon Yom Kippur.
See how who's around.
By the way,
my wife is on this. I don't know how women do it, but they have this way of being in several places at once. And I just haven't got down yet. Doing that?
But if that's the case, don't tell one of them anything you did with the others.
No,
because you might think it's the same person, but she ain't got to think it's the same person. All right, we're ready to start with the Mishnah today. Hamotzi ochlin atzadikim alamit peiz. Hamotzi ochlin b'chol mitzur b'klip patur afal aklip. Shaklit tveilala. Tachai b'mita patur afal mita shemita tveilala. Et hamet b'mita chayav. וכן כזית מן המת, כזית מן המת, ולא, הדש מן השרץ, חייב. ומי שמר מותר. And of course it would be telling the flute to Rabbi Yochanan in Lakish. At a high the mita patura palamitah. Wait, why? Because of the kind of say that's small. Lema Matis Rabbi Nasan Evil Rabbana the Tanya Matabachai. Ben Chaim, Ben Shputim Chayav, and Minas Ramal Shput Chayav, Allah Chaim, Turim Shachayim, Asiyat Atzmo, Omar Rav, Afil Tema Rabona. Ak, I'm not playing Rabona later, Rabbi Natan, Ela Bivim Achayav of the Meshar Batein Avshayah. Aval Adam, Chai, Asiyat Atzmo, Afil Rabona, Odu, Omar Rav, Abba Rav, Abba Rav, Abba Rav, Ben Bitzirah, Matir Bessus, Bitzani, Ben Bitzirah, Matir Bessus, and Nekshu Asir, Bo Malacha, Shein Chayim, and Allah, Bishab, and Sakatis, anyway, because Achayim Asiyat Atzmo. Vyom, Rabbi Yochan, Ben Bitzirah, and Rabbi Natan, Amru Dabar, according to you, we have a little plea up on a later than that. And that's only Mishum the Sharbatin of Shayim. So then what's it got to do with Ben Bateran Rabbi Natan? Ahmed Atsiva Rabbanan order. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan, it's like Rabbi Natan is talking about the Sus and Yuchad Laofot. Ika Sus and Yuchad Laofot. Ika Debei Miadan. So these Ofot indeed are the equivalent of not doing a Malach. Omer Yochan Moder Rabbi Natan Bikafut. Omer Rabada Bar Mat Labaya. Bo Ani Basoy the command of Kriti Damu. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yochan said that Ben Betero allows you to have Basus even in Poras. And Rabbi Natan Amud Barakad. So apparently Kafut, like these guys are, is also a Malacha that is Mutter or Patron Shabbos. Now Atam Rabba Ruchu the Nakiklu. These guys can move. The Upar Dashka the Ratak Malka. And you should have watched them run. V'roi Tlata Parsi Bekari. As I make the mitzvah kayav, I think it's like an amet. I'm a rabba. I'm a rabba. I'm a rabbi Yochanan. I'm a rabbi Yosef. I'm a rabbi Shimon. I'm a lakish. Poter hayar rabbi Shimon. Even when you mutzi et amet lekovro. I'm a rabba. Motor rabbi Shimon. Demar lak porvo. The sefer Torah likrot bo kayuchay. I should hope so. Shita. I'm not a malach shim tzuch gufei. So what is a malach shim tzuch gufei? According to rabbi Shimon, echem shkak. No, because Mama Tim and I, he got to say the gufa or the gufa. You're going, Marla, Sotlo, Tas, Vlach, Por, after you make the Tas. The Sefer Torah, La Agia, then it's ready for Kriya, and then you're Kari Rok. Come, Mashmala. Ahusha, Chavad, Avid, the Drog, Kera, Shor, Nakba, Yitzvah, Fuke, the Karmel. Amu, Rabbi Yochanan, Achud, the Marbarez, Rabbi Yochanan, Nakba, Yitzvah, Ha? Come on, Rabbi Shimon. Amid, a part of Rabbi Shimon, if he have Chatak, but he still holds his list of Rabbanim, Yitzvah. Amale, Elohim, Dai, Altabe, At, Afil, Rabbi Yehuda. Nikamina lushet rabim lekarmelit kamina and gadol kevod abriot shidochet lo taase shebetoran tana tamato lo ishtimane tuma or hichba hamichya over belo taase itma achat bishtayim chayav achat bishalosh v'achat b'chayav shesh rabatot v'machat b'chayav chayav because even this is ani ma'asa because im ishtak which is one more azra tuma v'pshesh is a reporter what's the difference what will be hashtem yes ayita la tuma you don't do anything. Our reputation be not mean a lot of bringing things up to boundaries doesn't matter. It's not. But Henke Zayt, when I made the Zayt, when I made the Chayav, how Chatzi Zayt, Patur, but Tanya Chatzi Zayt, Chayav, so what are you going to do? So my love, how did Tanya Chayav, that the Chatzi Zayt, make the Zayt? What is on Patur, that the Chatzi Zayt, because I do Mechza. But not necessarily. I mean, maybe Edi, it would be Chayav, and then both of your cases, when it says Patur, it means it's Patur, where there was an awful lot, and you took it, and you didn't bring it up to the boundaries. But had you brought it out to the boundaries, maybe be fine. And not to be nervous about the shina, b'chein saro, b'chein svamo, b'chein zigno, b'chein agud delet, or b'chelet, or b'keset, Rabbi Eliezer b'chayev, b'chachomim osrim b'shushvut. Omar Rabbi Elazar, machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachomim, is dafka b'yad, but if you use a nail clipper, you're fine. Pshita, zubazut z'nan. Mal the tame of the truth, Rabbanim would be matter even bikli. I mean, they would have matter even bikli. Hadi tani zubizu is lo diach atzot Rabbi Eliezer, who is machayev even by mouth. Kamash b'man, v'yomar Rabbi Elazar, machloket is where he cuts his own nails in this odd fashion. So over there, Rabbi Eliezer is machayev. Aval chaveiro, for sure, debrei hakol patur. Well, yes, not obvious, for now it's not. Mal the truth is Rabbi Eliezer would even be machayev this pedicurist, l'chaveiro nami machayev. No, but that's not the pshat. V'chein sa'aro, tana. Anoto mole b'azok chayav. What's that shear? I'm going to need two hairs. Ayva tanya ule karakat shtayim. And the Chachamim would be motivated to Rabbi Yezu and Malachi Levanot Mitoch Shkolot, but over there every white hair counts. In fact, over there, Afilu Bechol Aser, Yishuv Shem Elo Yubash Geber Simlat Yisha. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer, Siporin Shepirish Ruba, Vetzitzin Shepirishu Ruba, Biyad Mutar Bekli Chayav Chatat. Such a thing that Bekli Chayav Chatat would be Mata Bechatchila? Halki Kona, Pirishu Ruba Biyad Mutar Bekli would be Potter, but it's awesome. But if Lo Pirishu Ruba, then even Biyad it's Osir, it's Potter, but it's awesome. Bekli Chayav Chatat. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Alok Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer, Omer Rabba Bar Bachana Ben Yochanan, Vuhu Shepirishu Klapi Mala, Umetzaharot Uto. וכן הגודל, גודלת, לוקחת בפרקסת משום מים מחייב, עומר בלדן, עומר רבי יסבר לפנינה, גודלת את משום הורגן, כוכבת את משום כותבת, ופרקסת את משום טובה. עומר בן אברבן, גבי רבי אבו, וואו, דרך הנגיעה בכך, דרך תביעה בכך, דרך תביעה בכך, אלא עומר רבי אבו, I got it straight from רבי יסבר לפנינה, ודדים מפאי שלי מן איזה רבי יסבר לפנינה, כוכבת את משום צובה, נת משום כותב, גודלת ופרקסת משום בונש, כי דרך בניין בכך, אין. כדורש ומשומם במנעשיה, ויבן השם הולכים את הצילה, מלמד שצילה, הקדוש ברוך הוא לחבא, והביאה אצל אדם, שכן בקרחי הים קוראים בתלעיתה בניצה.